No, don't change your radio dial, folks. It's me, John Graham. Today, I had the pleasure to introduce a new podcast called The Sportscast with two fine gentlemen. One you already know, and the other, you know, you might have heard during Super Bowl broadcasts, which was pretty awesome, if I do say so myself. This new team will be on during Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m., Now, although we may not be on every Sunday, we will try to push out new content each week. Let's introduce everyone. Jacob Rettmiller, our sports director.
You betcha, John. Here with me, John, is my partner in crime, who's a sports master like me, my good friend, Matthew.
Sure, I am flattered, but I do say hello and thank you for having me on the program. Yes.
And I worked with Matthew on Tin Caps games, Comets games. I've got him all caught in up and trained.
Well, yes. Well, like you said, John, board operator right now. Hopefully, I'm going to continue on for 1380 The Fan. Hopefully, you can even leverage Spectrum a little bit. Hopefully, we can be a part of both and have a good little time here.
This is 1 hour of uncut talk about sports or whatever is on Jake and Matthew's mind.
It's always a fun topic. Sports, as mentioned by Jake, yes, is just a bit of my forte or mostly all of it. But nevertheless, you know, I do dabble into other subjects from time to time. But yes, that is basically the rundown of me.
Like, you recently went to the Windy City. What all did you do?
We went... Well, I mean, I wouldn't say we went everywhere and anywhere because we were there right before Christmas time. We kind of did that. But we visited with family. Always has to be number one priority. Had a good time. We may have had an even better time Saturday night, but that's not for airwaves. But and then Sunday, we attended a White Sox versus Yankees game, 5-1. New York, the winners. Over the White Sox there on the south side of Chicago, but a good time at Guaranteed Rate Field, which still feels very weird to say and almost kind of random to say that. But yeah, so it was a wonderful time. And that is a very, very nice city. I mean, I know we're not far away from there, but to anybody that hasn't been there, you need to visit soon. Like, that
yeah,
place is awesome.
Absolutely. And you were talking to Jake off air about how you wanted to go to a Cubs game because you're more of a... I mean, would you say you're more of a Cubs fan?
Indeed, yes. Very, very special moment in 2016 watching my college dorm room when they finally ended the Billy Goat curse, if you will. 108 years in the making to see them win the World Series. I can tell you in Chicago, they still talk about that to this day, and they probably never will stop talking about that. Cubs may never win another one, but they'll always have that one. Yes, that was our team growing up, so it was a little bit odd, you know, to go, but still, when a team like the New York Yankees, who right now are very, very much in the thick of things, is there, and a White Sox team that should really be in the thick of things, but isn't right now, you can't pass up that opportunity to go.
I remember, you know, watching the last game of the World Series, mm-hmm. The Cubs. I cannot believe that game was such a great game to watch. Literally stayed glued to my TV. I definitely would say that rain delay that they, yeah, you know, had in the middle of the game, you know, when the Cubs were down. I don't know what they were down.
Yeah. I think it was Tigers. It went to extra innings right after that.
Yes.
But the moment I always remember during that is throughout the series, because my dad was in Fort Wayne, I was in Muncie, my brother was in Bloomington, we had like a group text going on, and I remember those two, who are usually kind of like the eternal optimists compared to me, were saying, it's over, it's classic Cubs. And I, you know, sometimes like when you somebody says something and you just like don't even want to humor them with a response because you just know you're just going to be against everybody. I remember tossing my phone away, putting like underneath my blankets in my bed, saying I'm not even going to answer that because A, I don't want to agree with them, but B, it felt like they were going to do it. That team, it was meant to happen. It was meant to be that year. And even if they don't win another one, at least we can say we saw the one, right?
I agree. And like I said, you know, that was the greatest comeback I think in ever sports history, well, at least in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I'm very proud to say I am a Cubs fan.
Cubs go.
You know, yeah, go Cubs go. Right now, their season's not the best, but, you know, Jake, what are some of your favorite sports moments from the past?
I would possibly say probably the Comets taking on the South Carolina Stingrays, who, now that the Comets finally won their first Kelly Cup for the first time in their history, because usually the only cup that they won for the first time was the Turner Cup that they won. Mm-hmm. Until they decide to move themselves up to the next level, take on bigger, tougher teams like the Florida Everblades, the Toledo Wallet, or even those South Carolina Stingrays.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of the Comets, did you see that they're seeking a new affiliation?
Yes. As a matter of fact, shameless plug, I saw it through the 1380 social media, although the Comets did also show the same thing. Yes, but their previous affiliate team apparently is going to now side with the expansion team in that league. So the Comets are reportedly reaching out to other teams about being their minor league affiliates. So stay tuned, folks. Over the next few months, we'll see who exactly that the Comets go to. Could be very important as players get called up, moved down. But
yeah, yeah, it could be very interesting.
Indeed.
Well, to that, speaking of which, we also got reports here now that, you know, that there's a new team in town that's going to be in for the next ECHL season, from all the way from Savannah, Georgia, the Ghost Pirates.
That name, at first when I read that, or no, I think the first time I heard that, I thought somebody was pulling my leg saying that there's a hockey team called the Ghost Pirates, but that is ironically who the Comets affiliate NHL team, I believe was Las Vegas, has decided to go with now. So maybe there'll be a little bit of a rivalry, Fort Wayne to Savannah.
Well,
I mean, we might as well just push it now.
Well, it looks like the only team the Comets are going to have to be teaming up with will have to be the Seattle Kraken, because they're the only team that they'll probably have to be connection to.
Well, I think that would be pretty cool as well, though. You know, Seattle's that expansion team, and, I mean, nobody really knows a whole lot about them, and they're trying to build a team. They didn't have the same success right out of the gate that Las Vegas did, so we could see a lot more Fort Wayne players in the NHL one day. So I think that'd be really cool to see them, although I think it'd be better if there was a local team, you know, but admittedly, of course, if there's not that option, then yeah, I'd like to see Seattle. I think that'd be really interesting.
Well, to that, we do got two games that are happening today. As we got at 8:30, ladies and gentlemen, we got the Miami Heat taking on the Boston Bruins for game number 3 for the battle, as that we're about one more playoff game closer to see who gets into the NBA Finals.
Right, and right now that series 1-1. I picked Miami at the start of the series, but boy, did they take it on the chin the other night. Meanwhile, I don't think Golden State and Dallas is going to be a series, it seems like, at this point. But so I'm going to call it now. Miami, Golden State in the finals, and I'll go Warriors to win it all right now.
That's who I voted too, because yeah, a friend of mine at my job supports the Warriors too. And I told, and I kind of say this, if these teams do win, if the Golden State Warriors do win, maybe we should all have something to celebrate for their victory. Like maybe like a pizza party or pizza and ice cream party.
I'm good with a pizza and ice cream party even if they don't win. Like, I don't care who wins, a pizza and ice cream. Just saying.
Yeah.
Who would you say is your pick for the NBA Finals?
Oh, to win it all or just
to win
be
it,
there?
To win it all.
Yeah, Golden State Warriors.
And I agree with him. I go with Golden State as well.
Yeah.
Is there a reason behind that?
Well, because
it's because a friend of mine who used to work with me, he supports the Warriors, and he was pleased when I gave him the reports and that sort of stuff.
And I think experience in a big moment is somewhat overrated, but we can't forget this Warriors team. What was it, 4 years in a row went to the NBA Finals and they won 3 out of those, and then of course injuries took over, they went another year to the finals and lost, but had not been for injuries they probably wouldn't have lost to Toronto that year, I don't figure. So I think that this is a team, they're now relatively well rested, they didn't go to the bubble, they didn't have to do really anything extra. They went out in the play-in tournament last year, and also that Steph Curry guy's kind of good. That's when you have to start guarding somebody the second they have to step on the court, that is a bad dude right there. He can make shots from anywhere. And I'm just telling you, if they can shoot the ball the way they have and they can get more people involved the way that they have this year, there's just no beating that team. They know what it takes. They're playing on a different level than anybody right now.
And we all know about Stephen Curry. Everyone in San Francisco, California knows how vicious and dangerous Stephen Curry really is, even though he's a member of the Golden State Warriors, but he also is the creator of Holy Moly, he is.
Yes, the executive producer of that now. See, it's season 3, I think, now.
Well, 4, to be exact. 4, okay. They just have one particular special guest who is on the show. And your clues to all of you listeners, they're funny. They're an Oscar award-winning celebrities. And they have more Oscars on the movie studios than Bart Simpson.
Don't.
And that, my friend, please welcome the Muppets!
Da, 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 da.
You got me intrigued already. I've seen, the teasers for it. I've seen the teasers for that first episode, and I think I watched a little bit of a previous season. But if Mr. Wardell Curry himself wants to make an appearance, that would definitely entice it more.
Well, to that Wardell Curry, that turned out to be, well, obviously, the hilarious comedian Rob Riggle.
Yes, that's the host of the show. Well,
he's actually the co-star.
Yeah. Co-host there with, I believe, Joe Tessitore still has it. And so that's definitely a bit of an interesting pair. But
we all know Rob Riggle, they also call him that. He's never been wrong, Riggle.
to that, I say yes. His comedic timing, I remember the year he hosted the ESPYs, is really good. and it needs to be, because, you need to have a lighthearted show there, you know. Now, I will say, if he could even play a little bit, I feel like, I don't know, why I always thought Rob Gronkowski was involved in that for some reason. I feel like maybe he appeared on the show once. I don't know, but Gronk would also do well. Maybe like a three-man announce booth or... maybe even just go with Rob Riggle and Gronk. Pure comedy. That's pure comedy if those two get in there.
Yeah, because we know that Rob Riggle, for Rob Gronkowski, we all know that he was also the AKA the White Tiger from season 3 on The Masked Singer. They got a mask in the Super 9 he did.
Nothing surprises me with that guy. He'll do anything. He'll do anything.
And we already know why he wanted to be on The Masked Singer, guys, because he just loves dancing.
Yeah.
And his dances are one of a kind. But he wasn't quite sure if he was quite on rhythm. So when he got asked to do The Masked Singer, he knew he was in. So when he got the call, he really wanted to learn how to sing, and he also really wanted to learn how to dance.
Yeah. It could be useful. Now the NFL supposedly relaxed touchdown celebrations. You can bust out those moves, right?
Yeah. But when you said his team, one or two of his teammates did contact him and said, "Dude, I know those moves. I've seen those moves plenty of times in the locker room." Yeah.
That would be my concern with doing a show like that, is that the second you go off the air, your buddies are going to be hitting you up and being like, "Oh, hey, I didn't know you had that in me," or "Man, you told everybody you learned how to dance. I've seen you do that 30 times already." they're going to be hitting you up the second that the show goes off air. That would be my reservation, as well as the fact that you could, get the best dance instructor in the world, and it's not going to work for me. Two left feet's putting it mildly.
And it takes a talent and experience for Rob Riggle, but now that he has new and improved dance moves, he'll probably make himself famous with these new and improved moves thanks to the Masked Singer who helped change his life around.
Yeah. Well, that is a good part of it as well. So, I think it's good that, these celebrities do this and, they don't feel self-conscious about it, right?
But we all know he loves, and we know there are some celebrities who love the show, and some people who watched it loved it, but we never know if any of us may get that call to be on The Masked Singer and seeing who could get that golden mask.
Oh, yeah. If you're a celebrity, right? I know you are. Both of you guys are celebrities. You get that call. Are you taking them up on it, or are you going to say, thanks, but no thanks?
I would take my chances because I really love to sing and dance, but I want to make my singing and dance moves new and improved to myself.
Yeah. I say my dance moves are way too dead at the barbecue to say that I wouldn't do well on TikTok. I'll put that that way.
I'm not even on TikTok, you know, nor have I even tried, to attempt to TikTok.
See, my brother does videos, puts them on TikTok. So I have that account pretty much specifically for that, just so I can, like, watch him, you know, and I love his videos. And I, on occasion, will, like, watch something else on there. But half of that content, it almost seems like it's the same thing, the same concept. You guys remember Vines?
Vines? Oh, I love Vines.
Yeah, it's like the same concept, except just like a little bit longer. People just dance.
Yes, yes. And speaking of which, you see that little baby? Like,
indeed.
Right behind Jake's head?
I was wondering
stuck
what that
on
was.
There?
Yeah.
So, by the way, follow my socials, DJ Grammy on Instagram, and John Graham on Facebook. I shared this story on my Instagram. It's apparently a WMEE, TikTok, thing that they've been.
Oh, I see.
They're trying to build up their image on TikTok. But I just find that so funny. Truth be told, I thought it was one of our other board ops. But no, the culprit is John in Brooklyn.
Oh, so... But it's smart though, because you can put on social media. I would have known right off the bat it wasn't anybody at 1380 because they don't have any interest in doing that. And then seeing as how there's a smaller staff as well for Whoa Whoa is on air, that pretty much cancels those two. So I would have known it's one of the music stations, but I would have thought maybe okay, because on occasion like the DJs do bring their kids in right from
yes.
time to time. You see them in here. I would have thought maybe as they were working, their back is turned, kid shoves that up there, and then they leave, and then the parent just goes, I don't even care. I would have thought that, but I think to promote, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the funny thing is that I found John red-handed because he came in later while I was doing the Tin Caps game in studio, and... I thought it was weird that he was coming in later, and he told me that he was filming something for TikTok. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Is that I think first was the plan to stage the babies in different areas, and then he had to bring his video or camera in. So I find that funny though that. I find that funny that it was that team.
Yeah.
From doing that.
Well, now I have to follow them on TikTok because I'm trying to, like, put together in my head, like, what exactly, how they're tying that in to, like, promote their programming. I have to see now, like, how they're doing that because unless the baby is supposed to signify, okay, morning show, you're getting your kids ready for school and you're waking them up, but you could also have your headphones in and you're just listening to 97.3. That's the only like concept I could come up with this. Other than that, I'm in the dark. So I am going to get on TikTok and follow them and find out what that is.
Well, that's going to be a complicated to that, I would say.
Yeah. There has to be some sort of homage. Otherwise, just a random toy. Maybe it still is, but.
Yeah,
but... I mean, at first I thought maybe they were trying to get our reaction or just trying to get, people talking around the building. But, I mean,
right
now it just seems like they're just trying to build up their imaging on TikTok. And stuff.
I'd say more like it's a felony, I would have to say.
A felony? A felony?
But enough about this, because we still got some other sports updates we do. Isn't that right, Matthew?
Indeed. We got PGA going on. We got NHL playoffs.
Because that's the kind of thing, but there is one that's happening tonight. We got the Colorado Avalanche taking on the St. Louis Blues.
Yes. I believe the Avalanche were at one point in time a Comets affiliate, if I'm not mistaken. But against St. Louis, that should be a tough series there. But certainly it's been an interesting NHL playoffs. A lot of Game 7s last round, and hopefully we see maybe a few more from neutral fans.
But I would say this: those blues better watch out, because they better not play their blues songs till out, or it's an avalanche.
Yes. And the last thing you want to do is get buried by the avalanche of Colorado. You don't want to go behind a couple goals and then you've been buried by the avalanche. But
and you'll be buried from the snow, losing your oxygen in a few minutes.
Yes, but at least we can say this: there's probably a lot of local listeners. Chicago didn't make it. Detroit didn't make it. I think Columbus is already out. A lot of local listeners that don't have a dog in the race right now. So they could just enjoy just good games, which is the best spot to be in. Take it from somebody whose teams customarily go out of the playoffs and tournaments very early, and I have the rest of the rounds to just watch the neutral. It's a good spot to be overall.
Well, to my money, we already know that last season's Stanley Cup champions was Tampa Bay. And now they're taking on another. They have a hot ticket matchup against the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
And for my money, maybe there's a chance that those Tampa Bay Lightning could have a shot for 3 Stanley Cups in a row.
What would you put it past them at this rate? I mean, they go on the road and they win Game 7. They fight their way back into that series. And then they win the series. So now, going up there to Toronto, now I'd have to think that they have a legitimate shot. And they're going to believe they can. So, well, we've seen it before from them.
They've done it before. They could probably still do it again. Anything's possible.
Anything's possible in sports, as Kevin Garnett once screamed into a microphone.
But speaking of which, there is also one ECHL playoffs game that's happening right now. The Western Conference matchup between the Utah Grizzlies, that they're over in Toledo, Ohio, and at the Huntington Center to take on Toledo after they just won their first game in overtime.
Yeah. I mean, it's common fans. We can't see Toledo winning, can we? We don't want that to happen. We're neutral, but neutrality only goes so far when your rivals are still in the mix. You can't watch them win. As painful as it was for the Comets to go out in a Game 7, I think we would feel a little bit better if we knew that the Toledo Walleye did not win. But
yeah, I would say so. But for my money, I think the team that should take that Kelly Cup. We heard that I noticed that Florida Everblades only won their first Kelly Cup since the year I had surgery on my foot 10 years ago. So I think Florida Everblades should have a second chance to win that Kelly Cup.
Yeah, it'd be nice to take that Kelly Cup down somewhere a little warm down there, although it's a little warm pretty much all around the country from what I hear right now. But
and they'll be playing tomorrow as they're up in Canada taking on the Growlers.
Ooh. I mean, quite the transatlantic trip right there. You go from Florida all the way to Canada for playoffs. I probably have to go there a couple of times for that series. So
to that place, that's a long trip. Then snap, driving all the way out there, they'll have to take a plane to get over there.
Yeah, which isn't entirely common, really, for minor league players. So that's going to be a bit of an experience for them.
Yeah, and I would say the team that we should see the grout that the Everblades should take on, I'd like to see them take on something a little more challenging. Like I would say the Utah Grizzlies should take them down.
Well, I mean, Utah, to be fair, I'd pull for Utah simply because, you know what? They just watched their team just get absolutely smashed out of the playoffs in the first round for the NBA. So let's let them have a little something, right? Like, let's let them enjoy a little bit of playoff success. They don't normally get to enjoy that with the Jazz, so we'll let them have it.
Yep, because if the Growlers lose, that means 2 Canada teams are out of the way, and the only country that will take home that Kelly Cup again will be USA.
Yes.
USA.
Good old USA. Yes. We're here for it. It's almost Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July, and then after that, hey, I'm not trying to rush this summer, but November will be here and the World Cup will get underway and we'll probably go out in the first round, but nevertheless, but just trying to be realistic here. Just try to save American fans the surprise. Just be real.
Yeah. We're trying to be, realistic,
yes.
And and in the moment.
You can't be good at all the sports, right? Like, I mean, we weren't great in the Winter Olympics, but in the Summer Olympics, we normally do really well there. So let's just give the rest of the world one or two sports that they can be good at, and then it's fair.
Yes.
Because even though we are the top fraternity Olympic team on campus,
yes.
Because there's no one who can stop us. Yeah. Only except our bigger countries like Canada and Russia could have a chance to stop us.
Yeah. I've said this. We mentioned the Olympics. I just want one more time. I don't think it'll ever happen. Just one more time that the very best NBA players and the very best WNBA players go to the Olympics just to watch maybe one last time them smash the competition. And then after that, we'll settle for the sort of like best of the rest kind of people. But just have, you know, LeBron, Kevin Durant was there. Have those guys there one last time. And Paris, maybe even in L.A. 4 years later. That'd be really cool. But yeah, I already look forward to the Olympics as it is. Like, and it sucks that's 2 years away, but at least we got to have two this year, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're both, you know, young, right. And, you know, and I feel like 2024 will get here just like that.
See, that's what I'm so excited for. 2024, Olympics are here. 2026 World Cup is here. I'm like, I don't know if I'll be able to, like, save up the money to go, especially because the Olympics are out in L.A., but I can only remember Chicago was a finalist to host the games that were in Rio in 2016, and the excitement around here was incredible because people thought the Olympic Games could be just a few hours away. That ultimately didn't happen. But the fact that, like, a big sporting event, and I know it's been in the U.S. a lot, is what, you know, cynics would say, but I don't know. I feel like that's really cool. Like, you know, you're just a few hours. Like, you could hop on a plane, and in 2 or 3 hours, you could be at the Olympic Village. I think that'd be, like, really cool. So I look forward to that here in 2024.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And do any of you remember when the Olympic torch came here in Fort Wayne? What year was that?
I don't know.
It would have either had to have been, if it was recently, either the 2002 Winter Games in Salt Lake City or for the 1996 Games in the summer in Atlanta. But that's even something that Google can help me answer as well.
Well, I believe it was 2002 because it was recently after I had just moved back to Fort Wayne after being in the Chicagoland area, you know, for middle school. And I remember... you know, that, yeah, I want to say it was for the 2002 Winter Olympic Games.
Yeah, and indeed, I do have a confirmation here. It was ahead of those 2002 Olympics.
Which, okay, thank you for thank you for confirming that.
Thank you, thank you, Google.
Okay, well, obviously, coming up next week, starting Monday, we're in for a bigger treat of all. The high school softball playoffs is about to begin.
Yes.
I got word, the Wooded Warriors softball team is going to be heading up to Eastside, taking on the Cherubusco Eagles. And recently, John, we're down to one softball team that's still undefeated from all the way down in Indianapolis, Indiana. The undefeated Roncalli Royals. They're now changed their name, too.
Yes. I know they've had a good football program the last number of years. So good to see that they're doing well in the all-dirt diamond there, softball.
And, well, what I got here is they're about to take on one of Carmel's conference team, the Warren Central Warriors. And, well, the Warriors are not doing so good down in Warren Central after they won 2 games, lost 16 in their regular season. So I don't think those Warriors will be eligible for this softball competition. They'll be heading to Franklin Central Flashers High School for the sectionals coming up this week.
Yeah, sounds like they're just ready to go home. It sounds like, I mean... No disrespect to, you said it was Warren Central. 2-16, I think you kind of get a little bit realistic about what your chances are. But, hey, that's the good thing about these, like, state playoffs. You know, you just get by. I mean, I remember harking it back to football in our area. I think it was Dwinger a handful of years ago who had a very poor regular season. But then they got into the playoffs and they won a few games in there. So you never know. But, yeah, 2-16, I would – certainly be reminiscing on those 2 wins, not the 16 losses.
Well, like I always say on my sports radio show for Spectrum, I always say this, that part of the rules of my radio show is that every team in high school needs to have enough wins to confide it to me that thinking they could be eligible for the state championship.
Right. Yeah, and I can vouch for that because while I think it adds like a little bit more intrigue that a team could. For those outside Indiana, listen, every single Indiana high school football team qualifies for the state playoffs, which there are a lot of states where that's not the case. But everybody, 1A to 6A, you could lose every single regular season game. You could have it be mercy rule, running clock at the end of it, and you'll still go to the playoffs. You'll probably just have to face against a better team. You'll probably lose first round. But, like we said, it does happen. And to your point, it's almost like it just doesn't happen enough to justify those teams getting in. Now, we're not reporting anything here. We don't have anything to say as in like, oh, the IHSAA is meeting to talk about us. No, we don't know that. But this is purely opinionated to say, look, I'm not saying that these kids don't deserve to play in the tournament, but at the same time, if a team wins no games the whole regular season, I think the writing's a little bit on the wall as to what's going to happen round one when they go up against a good team.
Quite so, because right now for you, John, your team is about to get ready to take on the Homestead Spartans at Columbia City in Eagles High School. But they'll be playing second because the team that will go first is Southside Archers versus the undefeated Columbia City Eagles, who used to be until Leo managed to destroy them.
Well, yeah. You know, throw it over to the former Homestead Spartan himself over there. Like.
Yes, yes. As Jake does so commonly do during our broadcast, like, you know, he will always say, John's team, the Homestead Spartans, or Caden's team, the Boston Bruins.
Or the Celtics, you forgot about.
Yeah, the Celtics.
Well, my brother Warriors, they won't be playing until the 24th because the team that will go first is Eastside Blazers, who are also undefeated, but though thanks to Leo, they destroyed them too.
Right.
It's almost like none of these undefeated teams are powerful enough to stop Leo.
Yeah.
And what is the Homestead standings for softball?
Well, to me, your team is going to take on Northside, and if you win, or Northside does, you'll take on the Huntington North Vikings.
Well, that sounds like an interesting game right there. Like, I think IHSAA TV will probably have all the broadcasts, I would imagine. So,
and as for me, for Ron Colley, who's still undefeated, I say their chances of winning that state would probably be 95.2%.
Yeah. When you have a good team like that, they should be able to go through. At least one would figure anyway. But
for my calculations, New Haven is not doing so good. So, and because of this, they will automatically be one of the bottom teams and will also not be eligible for the state.
Right.
And to my calculations, their chances of winning that state would probably be 1.2%.
Infinitely small indeed. And, yeah, it's just kind of like what we talked about. You know, unfortunately, when you have everybody that gets in the tournament, well, this is kind of what happens. But the flip side to it is, I mean, we have March Madness. This could be May Madness, right? Like, anything truly can happen. You know, you just win one game, and suddenly now maybe the stars line up, but you just never know. But I've heard a lot about space this week, so I almost don't even want to get.
Well, my theory is the numbers. Well, I would say my numbers in theory could sometimes be never been wrong. Sometimes they can be.
Yeah.
But while that, Eastside is going to get ready to take on one of Woodlands Conference teams from all the way from Burn, Indiana. Those Eastside Bears better watch out to take on the South Adams Starfires.
Easily one of the best nicknames that we have in our entire listening area, the Starfires. 1A school, I believe. Okay.
Southern Wells is the 1A team.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but it should be a good matchup. And I mean, I know, you know, anytime we get the chance to say Starfires, that's an opportunity I want to take advantage of. So I hope they keep winning, for if nothing else, for that reason, because I want to hear Starfires as much as we can until to hold us over to August when we say it every week for football.
But I mean, those Starfires had also made IHSA history to be the fourth ACAC conference team to ever make it to the state championship, taking on the undefeated Covenant Christian. Taking on the undefeated Covenant Christian Warriors. They did.
Yeah. So that. A little bit of history for the Starfires there. I'm going to keep saying that name. I'm sorry. That their program, certainly a lot to be very, very proud of there. And they'll be hoping to keep it going here in these next few weeks, which is – that's another thing that you kind of like about, you know, high school sports is that you can't recruit kids, at least not public schools. So oftentimes your team is just not very good. But then when you have a good season, it really does bring the community together. And there really is a cool feeling, especially when you talk about a team that maybe hasn't ever been there. Or it's been 20, 30 years since they did something remarkable. So that's what I kind of like about that. So I really hope they do well. Then hopefully we see a lot of history.
Well, we'll find out for sure as they'll be playing until Monday this week, because whoever wins, they'll be taking on yet another ACHA conference team from all the way from Monroe, Indiana. You may find these guys from a military base, airports, and you'll feel like thinking, look, out in the sky, it's a burn, it's a plane. No, it's Adam Central Flying Jets.
That was the name I loved to say a lot during. I loved to give the pun. The Flying Jets are taking flight, mostly because the Jets football team in the NFL, they don't. But I mean, that I loved that name so much. I'm already coming up with all my puns for next season for it. So I hope that these teams, like, it's almost like minor leagues in the sense, like, minor league baseball has the best team names ever. Like, and you want to see the teams with the creative names, the unique names, go far, because you have to keep saying it. So I want the Flying Jets to just take flight at an altitude that nobody can get to them, not even the Starfires, not even.
Even though the South Carolina Starfires are one of Adam Central's conference and probably their rival, I would think they are.
Yeah.
But with that, Bishop Bluer Knights, they'll be going first on the 24th. They'll be taking on the, oh dear, another one of Woodlands conference team from all the way down in Bluffton County, the one and only Bishop Lewis Knights.
Yes, indeed. Bishop Lewis, certainly one of Fort Wayne's top schools, top area teams as well. And they have a decent volume, despite being a really small school anyway. So that's.
And they have also won the high school football state championship 11 times.
Yeah, and they've sent one or two players to the NFL, namely Jalen Smith, who right now is at the New York Giants, as he bounced around a little bit last year, but hopes to find his footing again.
Well, I gotta say, Bishop Lewis did make it to a few seasons ago, as they were taking on the three-time state champions, Western Moon, and I thought Bishop Lewis was gonna win to get 12 state titles, and they would have made Fort Wayne history, I would say.
Yeah.
To be the top 30 Fort Wayne high school football team on campus, they would be.
Well, I thought they were going all the way this year. I really did. I mean, we sat there week after week and either watched their games or listened to their games, and it just didn't seem like anybody could compete with them. And they fell apart a little bit down the stretch. I remember they lost to Snyder as well the last week. And then Eastside comes in there and, frankly, just takes it to them in the state playoffs there. So that was a bit of a surprise, no question. But they'll be back. They'll be back.
We'll see how that's coming along later, because we all know that we got the Indy 500 race coming up soon, as we got some of two NASCAR racers who are going to be there. One specifically is eight-time Dover champion and seven-time NASCAR Cup Series champion, Jimmy Johnson. And the last one, who drives number 22, Joey Logano.
Yes, and I know everybody in Indiana in some way, shape, or form does seemingly rally around. But, I mean, wouldn't it just be cool if somebody like Jimmy Johnson, he's done everything in the sport of racing. It's not maybe Formula One, but maybe he'll go there next. If he wins, that's kind of, I think, the missing feather in the cap. Not necessarily that he could retire unfulfilled if he doesn't win, because he's not been in IndyCar all that long. But that would be so cool to see him win on IndyCar's biggest stage, probably the biggest stage in all of racing there at IMS. And I can tell you there's a lot of excitement going on around the state for the return of a full capacity Indy 500 for the first time since 2019, even though it did look very close to full capacity last year. But that's going to be very, very exciting down there in Indy.
I agree to that, even though this is going to be an awesome hot ticket competition, because whoever wins that race will win the season title of the Indy 500 and will get to jug down one successful pint of milk from the Kanert's Dairy Farm.
Drink milk. That's what you got to do to grow up big and strong. I always say they go full on traditional. They have them drink milk out of the glass bottle. It doesn't look like it's the greatest milk, but it looks so satisfying for those drivers. Like, they are probably the biggest thirst after that long race, and they only get a little bit of water. They quench it with a cold jar, practically, of milk, or literally a glass of milk. So they'll take it.
Yeah, because I got to say, that Kanert's dairy milk that I – because I went to the Kanert's Dairy Farm just once with my high school youth group, and I got to admit, their dairy milk there was so mouthwatering good.
Oh, yes.
Like, it's very pop. It's so popular here in the U.S. for years. Yeah. In Indiana for years.
And see, I feel like that's, like, the most Indiana Midwestern sporting tradition that, hey, we could have you raise a trophy, but a glass of milk is better. It will help you get stronger and you recuperate the energy you lost from the race. So there you go. That's a perfect tradition, really.
Yeah. It's more like it's more like what you say is true about for milk. And they can also be great to make our teeth, and for good for our teeth as well, you forgot.
Yes, sir. Drink and eat your vitamins, kids. That's the moral of the story. We're living in a time where you have to be healthy, and we're reminded of that, even though, quite frankly, you should do that anyway. But drink milk. So tell you what, everybody, when they are at the ceremony of after the race, go get a glass of milk yourself.
Or water. Or I would say whoever wins that race, we should all get ourselves a glass of milk and raise our glass to whoever wins the race, I would say.
Yes, it's kind of like a King of the North kind of thing. Like, cheers them and be like, congratulations, and we drink our milk in a celebratory manner. I'd buy into that tradition if, like, everybody around Indiana did that. I think that'd be super cool.
Yeah, but I'm also going to say to that milk stuff, does anybody got milk?
That I wanted to bring up, because I always remember in school, like, you're sitting there in the school cafeteria, and there's, like, the banners and pictures, like, athletes and actors, and they're, like, they drank their milk, and they got the milk mustache, and it's always, got milk. Like, oh, man, that.
But it can be kind of silly, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But there was, I mean, milk was, like, the solid drink, though. Yeah. But we had it so much in school. That's where at Snyder, when they started offering you to, like, buy with extra money, water, juice, everybody was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get myself a bottle of water, even though you can literally just drink the water from the drinking fountain. But people were like, I don't do milk anymore. I go for the bottled water. I go for the Aquafina here. So, they really leveled up there. But, yeah, I just remember those little milk cartons we used to have. You know, those are the best.
Same thing with me at my high school, Woodland and St. Peter's do that too.
Yes. That was all school lunches, admittedly, left a little something to be desired. They were not always brilliant, but that was certainly one of the pluses. I could always have a little carton of milk to quench my thirst for the remaining periods, and then, of course, band practice after school for 2 hours.
And usually after when I get done with my school, I usually go to the football field and help the team get ready for their next competition. And usually I text my dad when he hears this stuff that we're done. And I text him, are you ready for the event of the century? Yes.
See, I always wanted, like, we used to always practice right across the street from where the football team practiced. So we could see them running drills. And then, like, I always... There were times where I just wanted to go over there. I was like, you know what? I've done band. I love it. But I love football. But then I remember why I didn't play football any longer. And it's funny because my brother, who we talked about, he played at Blackhawk. I played at Blackhawk as well. We were driving past Blackhawk Middle, and we're saying, oh, that's where we used to play football over there. And all I could think to say was, that's where we had the practices that made me realize I love playing soccer a lot more than I love playing football, because those drills they do, give you a whole different respect for football players. I couldn't do that again. I couldn't do tackling drills again.
Yeah, because we're playing football, kids, you have to be really burling if you're going to compete in that stuff.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, you have to be big and strong and pretty muscular if you're going to do that sort of stuff.
I mean, I was one of the bigger guys on our team. And I just, there would be times you get tackled on practice. It's like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know, you just, like, lay there and you're just like, oh, no, that's it. That's it. But the games are so fun. They're so rewarding to be a part of, and especially at the end of the week, especially if you win. But there's, like, football, the grind for it. Yes, the cardio doesn't have to be as good as, like, soccer, basketball, or hockey. But the level of just physical punishment is just nuts, nuts, nuts.
Yeah, not like as the miles like as you would have been had a punishment, like, be, like cleaning Ken John's dressing room.
Oh, yeah. I barely clean my own room enough. So I mean, I couldn't clean somebody else's.
Like, cleaning Ken John's dressing room, but I wouldn't clean his dressing room if I were you, because I saw the picture of it, that there's Skittles, Chinese food, coffee cups everywhere.
No, yeah, I mean, it's Skittles, though.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. But, yeah, when it comes to cleaning, man, I have so much respect for what people do to get all clean after somebody, because I am, let's just say, not the most organized, cleanly person that there is in my stuff. So I certainly cannot be cleaning after somebody.
Yeah, quite so. But not only that, on Monday, I do got here that Concordia, where my friend Mindy Luntz, her daughter, Kennedy Luntz, went to, her high school, Concordia, is going to get ready to take on my cousin Adam and Ryan Freebie's high school team, the Leo Lions. But Concordia, I don't think you'll be able to stop them, because those Lions are probably going to pounce on you and roar their way to victory on Pride Rock.
Yeah, but I would just point this out. It's Leo specifically. They had such a great year in football that we thought, sitting in our studio watching them play, we read their scores, blowout after blowout after blowout. We didn't think anybody could possibly beat them. And then they went home early in the playoffs, too. Or I would say early, but they didn't go as far as we all thought. So, folks, tune in, stay tuned, because it's the playoffs and things happen. But yes, to your point, yeah, normally talent and coaching wins out.
But to me, I thought Leo was going to win. Ever since, no thanks to those Northridge Raiders, they managed to stop them, I got to say.
Yeah, I almost had to do a double take when we saw the score. When we saw the score of that game, I could not believe it. But, you know, it's like we say, it just all it takes is the thing about, especially if it's single elimination, that I like so much better than a seven-game series, is that if you don't come to play, and I'm not trying to suggest that Leo didn't come to play, but if you don't, you could be going home. Like, that's what we love about the NCAA tournament. Think about that. Like, all the years, like, Duke or Kentucky lost out early, they were miles better than the team that they played, but they didn't show up. So I like that system a lot better than, you know, best of seven series. And with Game 7, super cool.
Not only that, but I feel like the North teams, like, up here, like, they take the South teams down in Indy, who are more than likely going to be teamed up with, for granted, because the South teams down in Indy are so much more better.
Yeah. Well, but I will say is, when you go outside of Indianapolis, you know, you have the suburbs, you have Center Grove, you have Indianapolis Cathedral. Carmel's usually pretty good, and I think there could be a sleeper team this year for football. But outside of that, you know, there's not – I'd argue, I think it's there's a deeper talent pool up here in the northern portion of the state. But, of course, you know, we talked about there were some teams that came into the picture later in the year that were on our broadcast that we just simply didn't know a whole lot about. There's no reason to take anybody lightly in the age of social media, because you know this team is good. You know, you just have to just do one quick Google search on them and say, look, this isn't a walkover opponent. And maybe now that the SAC is going to have non-conference games in a couple of years, maybe that'll change it, because you can start to see other teams. But yeah, there's no reason, I think, to take anybody lightly. But there's talented teams all over the state of Indiana in all the sports, not just basketball and football, all the sports.
Quite so. But even though we still got the Taycats, they'll be getting ready soon to take on the Whitecaps. But with other games that are happening later tonight, we got the Quad City River Bandits taking on those fire-breathing Dayton Dragons.
Dayton, who's been on a tear this season, who took the Tin Caps, took 5 out of 6 at Parkview Field a few weeks ago.
Like, it feels like if anyone loses, they'll have to ride the back of the Dolphin. Ride it all day and all night until they find the end of the rainbow where, like, Davy Jones is locker.
That still sounds fun to me. That's an adventure right there. That's an adventure. I'll take that. I've really been on the adventurous sort of get up and go and find places vibe recently. So, you know, hey, I would probably regret it. But, hey, I mean, the Tin Caps are seemingly getting close to that sort of territory. But they did win last night, at least. So hopefully they can sort of build off of that, as that series is 2 games apiece now. So with the Whitecaps, who I inadvertently earlier called the Vancouver Whitecaps, they play in a different sport in a different country. Not the West Michigan Whitecaps, who are the affiliate of the Detroit Tigers.
Quite so. Even though the Imperial Chief, they're also thinking of the worst team that we have in our conference, the Beloit Skycrap.
Yeah, they're certainly struggling there. So maybe it would be what the doctor orders here for the Tin Caps to get a 6-game series against them soon here against Beloit. So we would certainly welcome that.
Even so, the Lake County Cadets, they're still down in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, taking on who used to be usually undefeated, the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Yeah, you know, Cedar Rapids, who had a great season last year. That's a little bit surprising, but it is the minor leagues and teams are different every year. Teams are different, honestly, even every week. So that's maybe it shouldn't be too surprising. But yeah, to see, you know, a Cedar Rapids team that's coming off a really good season seemingly take a step back, we'll see how they fare the next few months, because it is still early in the season.
Yeah, but even though we also still got a NASCAR race that will also be coming up soon as tomorrow, the races are going to be at, well, the Lone Star State of Texas.
The stars at night are big and bright deep in the heart of Texas. We'll see if that same adage rings true. But, yes, that would be an interesting event there. And nice and hot, I'm sure, down there in Texas today.
But, unfortunately for this race, it's a twist because it's an all-star race that they're going to be doing down there. They're going to be down there for two days, on every Sunday from 5:30 to 8 o'clock.
Okay, well, that'll be interesting. We'll have to tune in. So certainly a lot of good racing coming up, and I know Formula One is really in the midst of its season. Obviously, Indy 500. I know people always say that, like, this is supposedly the kind of a lull period, if you will, in the sporting calendar that doesn't seemingly kick up until NFL training camp begins in July, but there's a lot still going on. Hopefully we can see that persist into June as well with a lot of big events.
Yeah, and with the other race, not only we got the Indy 500 that's happening on Sunday, 2 days after mine and John's birthday day, the races will be heading to Dale Jr.'s home state, North Carolina. Now, to Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Coca-Cola 600.
Yeah, that'll be a fun event to watch there from the Queen City, as they call it, Charlotte, North Carolina, or Buzz City, as the Charlotte Hornets have seemingly affectionately nicknamed it. But that ought to be a nice event down there in just a few weeks. As a matter of fact, actually a little over a week, so, or under a week, rather.
I would say so, but I recommend that they, but until June 5th, at 3:30, the races are going to be at a new racetrack called the Worldwide Technology Raceway.
They really need to think about some of the names they give to these stadiums. That's my take from that. I look forward to the event, but the Worldwide Technology Raceway. I mean, that's these are, if your stadium name has like 7 different words in it, what are people going to call that? You know, I am so fearful for the likelihood that the Bears are going to go into a new stadium And instead of just saying New Soldier Field out there in Arlington Heights or Park or whatever it's called, that they're going to be like the Applebee's.com Steak and Shake Next Door Stadium. And it's going to be like, wait, what is this? Like, but it wouldn't be surprising from the team that parked a spaceship on its stadium a handful of years ago. But
speaking of which, the Bears, I've heard that we have three NFL games that are going to be happening up in London. We got one is going to be over in Germany. The other one is going to be a very surprising one because people from Mexico, you're listening to this. You got an NFL football game that's going to be happening in your home country, Mexico City.
Yeah, that's going to be cool to see that back down there. They haven't done that the last few years of the pandemic. They had the 2018 season the game down there get canceled because of field conditions. I think that's going to be really cool. That was a lot of fun in 2019, just except for I think it was Tom Brady that had laser pointers flashed in his face. He probably wasn't too keen on that. But that is a very, very passionate sports community who is seemingly really growing on them footballs. They've sent several good players from Mexico who have lasted on NFL rosters the last few years. So I'll be excited to see that down there in what is a great city and one of the most vaunted sporting venues in the world, the Estadio Azteca.
So really quick, are the Chicago Bears definitely moving down to Arlington?
It's not official yet. It sounds like that's where they want to go. They have put in a bid on land. We're supposed to know probably by the fall time, but the city has come up with a counteroffer, and I haven't heard the Bears say anything since then. So that either means that they're just not even going to entertain it, or they're going to say, okay, let's start to negotiate. Because I don't think they want to leave Soldier Field because that's their history, and this team has a tendency to hang on to things way too long. But I think everybody would say, okay, it's the smallest capacity venue in the league, and the NFL has absolutely no interest in bringing a Super Bowl there. But if you put a dome over the state or a retractable roof and make the stadium bigger, the NFL would seriously think Chicago would be a prime spot for a Super Bowl one day if they did that. And the mayor supposedly wants that to happen.
Definitely. I definitely feel like, you know, and Chicago, you know, is cold. Now, I understand, you know, that when you build, like, a, you know, inner, you know, stadium, you take away the live elements of snow and that cold weather. Yeah. I don't know if the average fan really would mind that at all.
It's ironic because people used to always say, that's Bears football. And that gives us and I do think that is true. But I can tell you, I went to a game where the kickoff temperature at night was about 20, 25 degrees. And oh my God, it is insanely cold. For those that don't understand, there's Lake Michigan, there's a street, there's Soldier Field. I mean, it is that close to the lake, and it just gets bitterly cold, especially when you sit up in the rafters there. So I think that they have to consider that. And I think that could be an option to go. I hope it is.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about, you know, the bid and where it goes.
Right.
You know, you can see pros and cons to both sides. You know, I'm sure Chicago doesn't want to lose.
Yeah.
That part of Chicago history.
Yeah.
Jake, do you want to give us a quick rundown of every sport, every baseball, team that is playing this week?
Well, it's coming up this week on Patriots Day, our Colts will be playing on Patriots Day as they'll be hanging down to the Lone Star State of Texas as they're about to take on J.J. Watt's team, the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
At least they're not going to take on one of his other, but they're also going to take on one of his brother's team, Derek Watt, who plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But they're probably going to take on, the other Watt, this T.J. Watt, from the Carroll Chargers.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chargers from California.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting game. Colts, I think it'd be a sleeper team this year. We'll see, though.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in to this debut of this new show that is hosted by Jacob Rettmiller and Matthew Kleinberger. Now, I'm going to give you gentlemen the time if you would like to give out your socials.
So those that wish to follow me on Instagram, it'll be the_the_mk_54. And then just a flip over to my Twitter. This one I actually do have to genuinely add. MAKLING54. That is my Twitter handle.
And as for me, you can check B out on Facebook. That's all I got for myself, John.
Yep, and that's Facebook at Jacob Brattmiller. So everyone, thank you for tuning in. Jacob and Matthew, thank you for being my guests on what is hopefully going to be a new tradition for your Sunday afternoons right here on Spectrum 20.9. If you missed any or all of our broadcasts, you can catch up online at thespectrum239.com and click on our show logo.